The Fearless Podcast, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act.
All right, y'all. Welcome back to the Fearless Podcast. This is episode 78, and we have been incredibly busy around the homestead. I have another excellent, awesome guest that I want to introduce to y'all. That would be Dane Wigington from geoengineeringwatch.org. Dane, welcome to the Fearless Podcast. How are you doing, sir?
As good as could be expected, TD. Thanks for asking. Thanks for the invite. Thanks for your attention to what's happening in our skies.
Yeah, the reason I wanted to have you on, a great friend of mine, Billy from Permaculture Pimpcast, had you on, and I just want to do what we can do here to tell the story, get the information out, educate people. When it comes to weather modification and aerosolized injections and geoengineering and all these different things, what is very fascinating, especially on social media, is we've discussed this topic two or three times, and you get this overwhelming, you get three responses. You get people that are in the know and they are aware. You get these, probably they're like government disinfo bots. You get a lot of that. And then you get a large group of people with normalcy bias that say something to the effect of, man, I've been hearing everything you're saying, but I just can't go here. I can't even consider this. I can't fathom this. And that's why I want to put people in contact with your information. And, I want you all to be, I will link, the website down below, but what Dane has done is yeoman's work here with providing provenance and documentation. The first thing I want to point you to is his documentary, The Dimming, that is available on YouTube, and it has 25 million views. You can also check out this interview with RFK Jr. that has over a million views, but I want to direct y'all there for resources to help break this normalcy bias that people have, where they're just like, you know, this is way too conspiratorial. Who's funding this? How are they doing this? None of this makes sense. This just isn't a possibility. You know, this is condensation trails and all these different things. And you've went above and beyond, invested time, money, and resources in documenting all these patents, documenting the government white papers, extensively diving into this subject. And then with your documentary, The Dimming, you even went above and beyond and you compiled the data and did the experiments that there's only one possible explanation for any of it. And you've presented that information in such a concise fashion. And now we are in real time experiencing the effects of all this manipulation with back-to-back hurricanes and cataclysmic devastation and poisoning in the Carolinas and eastern Tennessee. And that's what makes your message just that much more important. And that's why I wanted to have you on today.
Thank you, TD. And for the record, this is a 20-year-long mission now that I never wanted, never. I live in a remote wilderness area in Northern California. I wanted only to restore habitat here for the rest of my days, work in the forest in solitude, which is what I was doing. And when this issue came to my attention, because my home is completely off-grid, wind, hydro, solar, very large solar system, I was losing 20, 30, 40, some days 70, 80% of my solar PV uptake from whatever these aircraft were emitting. And I knew that could not be condensation. I have some background in the industry, a former employee for Bechtel Power. That's the world's largest engineering firm. My home was on the cover of the world's largest renewable energy magazine. And again, you don't lose 70 or 80% of your solar power from whatever aircraft are emitting. That's not condensation. And I want to clarify, that's not a loss of 70 or 80% of visible light. Very different. You have to have direct, unobstructed sunlight for solar power to work. So I began to test my precipitation. Didn't want to find climate engineering elements in it, but I did. The more I tested, the higher the amounts went, until after 18 months of testing, literally toxic rain was falling on my forest, 3,450 parts per billion of aluminum in the rain. And for those that don't know, aluminum is toxic to all life forms, period. And although it's abundant in Earth's strata, TD, it does not exist naturally in free form. If it's in free form, it's been mined and refined and put there. And that's a primary element in climate engineering patents, which is to stated purpose to block the sun. So you mentioned, TD, people ask, why would governments do this? And my response would be, why wouldn't they do this? Why would we expect them not to do this? And as far as who they are, ultimately, it's those who print the money. The occupants of the White House mean exactly nothing at this point. They're simply props in the play. Those who print the money control it all. And again, the ramifications of not being able to hide anywhere from what's being done in our skies and the nefarious use of these operations is the gravest of threats. And that's why we're so fully focused on this issue. And as far as the condensation trail narrative, I'll leave it with this. We have up close film footage of these aircraft at altitude, KC-135s, KC-10s, C-17 Globemasters, nozzles visible, turning dispersions on and off. End of debate. This is not condensation.
Yeah. And what's more, with all that, the video documentation you have, even the way that these supposed contrails are engulfing the plane and its entire span. I mean, this is clearly, it couldn't be a condensation trail from the engine itself, because these planes, you can clearly see, are visibly rigged out to spray whatever they are spraying. And it's unexplainable by any other means. And why this is important to people like us and in our space, you know, much like you 10 years ago, we strategically relocated. We said, you know, what we eat is very important. We want to be part of that process. We want to participate in that process. We want to eat clean. We want to eat organically and all these different things. We want to be self-resilient, self-reliant, and we want to promote that type of community from a parallel standpoint. As far as, you know, the standard American diet and all the standard American finances and the standard American things, it's a broken system that appears to be by design for no other reason than to poison us. So, you know, if we take the action that we can take and do the things that we can take, grow our own food, raise our own animals, participate in that process, you know, we can kind of take control of that, for lack of a better word. And here, come to find out, you know, they're spraying these heavy metal pollutants everywhere, so that, you know, this affects absolutely everyone. It affects everyone's food security and everyone's ability to eat just normal foods. And that's why this issue is so vitally important to all of us, and especially us here in this kind of homestead type regenerative ag community. And, you know, that's why I want to provide people with these resources and with your personal testimony, so that if they kind of are on the fence, or if they're suffering from cognitive dissonance and they just refuse to connect the dots, blissfully ignorant, is going to lead to all of our demise, to the point where we won't even have a quality of food to eat.
You're correct, TD. We won't have anything to eat. Normalcy bias will very soon be blown to bits as the walls cave in, and they are caving in. There's not an uncontaminated drop of rain anywhere on planet Earth. We have peer-reviewed climate science study to prove that. I have no love for the, quote, climate science community who continues to deny this elephant in the equation. It's criminal. I want to make that clear. The denial coming from the so-called climate science community is criminal. The denial from Matrix Media is criminal at this point. If legally speaking, if you participate in the cover-up of a crime, you become an accomplice to that crime. And in all these categories, that is the case. So, in regard to the ubiquitous contamination of the planet, yes, we have decomposing plastics everywhere. We've treated the planet with unimaginable contempt. And there's too many, especially in alt media, that don't want to acknowledge that we have trashed this planet in countless ways. That needs to be acknowledged. And yes, I have disdain for Al Gore as well, and all the environmental groups, all of whom are behaving with criminal hypocrisy. in the case of the environmental groups, they will not acknowledge climate engineering because their attorneys have told our attorneys at geoengineeringwatch.org that they don't want to lose their 501c3 nonprofit, so they won't acknowledge this issue. How does that hold up with a group that claims to care about the environment? It doesn't. So yes, there's that criminal hypocrisy, but that doesn't mean the damage isn't real. I want to stress that again. If people making money off the collapsing climate, of which climate engineering is the single greatest factor, but by no means the only factor. So when we have wars, TD, you know, there's individuals and entities that make money off both sides of the conflict, right? Disaster capitalists, right? But that doesn't mean the conflict didn't happen. That doesn't mean people didn't die. So again, the state of the planet right now is beyond grave. Every day that climate engineering is allowed to continue makes it far worse still. But that it's important if people want to help in this battle, it's important not to claim there's no damage to the climate, that it's all a hoax. All that does is alienate half the people we need in this battle with the first punch. It alienates them. If we acknowledge, yeah, we've been bad stewards of the planet, but how do we have any legitimate discussion about climate anything from any perspective without first and foremost addressing climate engineering, aka weather warfare? And that's exactly what it is. I'll leave it with this. There is no benevolence in these programs whatsoever. They are about power and control, period. And that power and control includes confusing the population on the true state of damage to the climate by causing chemical cool downs. TD, were you in Texas when the big freeze hit three years ago, I think?
Yeah. We were here. We experienced all that. And it was unexplainable and bizarre and at a peculiar time of year. And it was just as all of our fruit trees were waking up. They had already woken up, and if you wanted to do damage to a food system, it was at the perfect time of the season for it to happen. It was very peculiar.
And that's part of the plan. That is part of the plan. You control food supplies, you control populations. So I hope more people consider and research the fact that that event was absolutely engineered top to bottom. People should question how it can be 0 degrees in Dallas, Texas, when it's 85 degrees at nearly the same latitude in Florida. At the same time it was 0 degrees in Dallas, it was 33 degrees warmer at the North Pole. We need to examine this situation and understand there's nothing natural about this. These are patented processes of chemical ice nucleation cloud seeding operations. It's an endothermic reacting element that causes ice to nucleate at far higher than normal temperatures, but that does cool things down. JD, think about the first aid kit on the shelf in your garage. You could sit there for 20 years with a cold pack in it at room temperature, and you mix those chemicals, you have ice instantly, right?
Yep.
Same thing on a massive, unimaginably large scale. And when we're testing this precipitation, we know that that's what's in it. Had any major hailstorms, JD, like baseball and softball size hail?
Dallas gets them every single year. We haven't had anything that large out here, but Dallas regularly gets softball size hail at least once a season.
Once a season now. Historically, that was not true. And now it's happening so much that insurance companies are canceling any hail provision in their policies because it's so epidemic now. That's chemical ice nucleation. If your listeners search, they can go to geoengineeringwatch.org and look at the engineering winter section to see mountains of data and photographs on this process. It shows, for example, in Lake Michigan, where they conduct these operations regularly, if they search Lake Michigan ice balls, they'll see 75-pound basketball size, perfectly spherical ice balls just completely covering shores of Lake Michigan. There's nothing natural about that. That's chemical ice nucleation. So we have components of climate engineering, and this is part of the many agendas. Too many people want to think it's just for this, it's just for that. There's so many agendas being carried out. But one, when you conduct an operation like that in Texas and bring it down to unimaginably cold temperatures, people immediately, without any investigation, think the planet can't be warming. It has to be a massive lie. It's all nonsense. And so it doesn't matter if they've been under record temperatures for previous years or the next years, they remember that cold event. And psychologically speaking, it has a very profound effect in driving a wedge into society, making half of society not believe the climate's damaged. And the other half, of course, believes it is damaged. And the half that believes it is damaged, when they hear the word geoengineering now, because they've been trained, they think that anybody who mentions that word denies all other sources of damage. So they don't want to hear anything about geoengineering. Divide and conquer. And we need to cure that. We need to simply have the mantra from either side of the fence. Again, can't talk about climate anything from any perspective without first and foremost addressing climate engineering. And if we build a bridge there and we unite the tribes, we have a chance of exposing and stopping this.
And the other interesting thing, when you look at the history of all of this and how long it's been being experimented with, patented, and in active known use, in another parallel way, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, if you've been manipulating the weather and been manipulating the temperature, and then, you know, then you finally like reveal the fact that like, we want to try this geoengineering, and you have all of these professors like David Keith. I think he used to be at Harvard. He's now switched schools or whatever, but you have these, and you've confronted these men, you know, to the face about these particulates and how poisonous they are. And they hem and haul and divert and do all these things. And they basically, their excuses, well, yeah, some people will die, but the greater goal, this is for the greater good, you know, and that only makes any type of rational sense, especially in light of this, what has become scientism, whether it's referring to medical intervention, whether it's some type of biological intervention, or this, you know, even with geoengineering, it's just this elevation. It's this technocratic Fabian socialist intervention where we can do these completely artificial things and affect our surroundings, and because we're so smart, and because scientism has become a god, and we worship at this foot of scientism, you know, we can change these things. And that, you know, that keeps becoming more and more apparent in the news cycle and in our society, that these experts and these technocrats that people lean on to get their information from are blind at best, and in a larger way, they're propagandist talking heads for those that fund their initiatives.
Agreed on all points. So when those who deny climate engineering try to convince themselves this isn't happening, because if it was, we would have legions of whistleblowers. One, what happens to whistleblowers? And again, John Kerikou, for those who don't know who he was the U.S. official that blew the whistle on the illegal torture programs. Who is the only person to go to jail? The only one, John Kerikou. And in regard to people questioning how a whole aviation industry could, even though compartmentalized, be involved with this and nobody is stepping forward, let's look at the medical industry, which you just so correctly brought up, TD. How can we have an entire supposedly incredibly well-trained medical industry, all of whom are still, even today, ranting safe and effective? Really, while people are dropping dead, athletes in the prime of their life, dropping dead on the field because of the medical treatments they received. And yet the whole industry still continues to pretend that these concoctions that they're pushing on populations are still, quote, safe and effective. So again, what's happening in our skies and the fact that the public is not yet ready to fully acknowledge it is a profound testimony to the power structure's ability to propagate normalcy bias and convince people they shouldn't even believe what they see with their own eyes. Of course governments are doing this. It's a historical record. Did you see last week when Joe Biden, in between his babbling, tried to deny this issue? Did you happen to see that clip?
I did. I haven't seen that yet.
It's worth watching. I mean, and of course we had CNN and other organizations too. In fact, I've just done two separate hour interviews with InfoWars, and CNN covered that with a pathetic attempt to to try to, quote, debunk climate engineering as if it's so preposterous that governments have any such control or power. The first hurricane modification operations in 1947, Project Cirrus, they dumped 80 pounds of dry ice into a hurricane and appeared to change its course so much that instead of going out to sea, it changed directions and made landfall, did a lot of damage. Lawsuits were pending, and then they tried to walk it back like they had, they didn't do this, it didn't change course. And, you know, they can change the narrative, even though it's, something's already happened, just like they did in Dubai. In fact, did you see Dubai, the recent flooding? They got 2 years worth of rain in 6 hours. Did you see that?
I'm not sure of that, but I know that that same exact thing happened in India, right? Like just a year
ago. It has. Dubai was particularly egregious, and I'm going to weave this back into everything else I said. So Dubai, within days of them saying they were going to ditch the U.S. dollar, they get 2 years worth of rain in 6 hours. And they initially admitted that weather modification was a component in this equation. And then when it started to gain international coverage, they immediately tried to backtrack. And whether they're covering the tracks for whoever did this, clearly it was climate engineering, because we captured on satellite imagery the frequency transmission signatures on the clouds in the Persian Gulf the day before and the day of. This is climate engineering. And I want to make this clear also. Climate engineering is very different than weather modification that people are familiar with. A single engine propeller driven aircraft with some flares on the wings. That's designed to simply be a smokescreen for people so they think that's all it is, can't be that bad. Never mind the KC-135 military tanker dumping 100 tons of toxic nanoparticles in a single payload. So again, a lot of layers, smoke and mirrors going on and so forth. But the bottom line is for Biden and Matrix Media to pretend that we don't have this technology and that governments haven't done this and wouldn't do this, it's beyond ludicrous. It's a historical record. Project Popeye in Vietnam, the U.S. military, so successful at manipulating precipitation over Vietnam that international treaties were passed in the 70s forbidding these operations in wartime. Not that anybody pays attention to those. So again, why wouldn't they do this? And final statement, TD, have you seen the film of Lyndon Johnson in 1962? Stating we had the power to control the world's cloud layer. I'd encourage your listeners to look at that at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent column. We have our weekly commercial-free, political-free broadcast, all news. The first 30 seconds is a film of President Lyndon Johnson in 1962 ranting like a lunatic, claiming we had the power to, stating, not claiming, stating we had the power to control the world's cloud layer then, and he who controls the weather controls the world. Of course they're doing this. Of course they are. And denial at this point is not going to save anybody for much longer because, and I know nobody wants to hear this, but we are so close to collapse on so many fronts from an ecological standpoint, from an atmospheric standpoint, and climate engineering is a key component in all that.
And it's observable to us everyday normal Joe people. We were watching the Hurricane Milton in real time, and I believe they reported 27 tornadoes touched ground. And, you know, and I'm like, when in history has a tornado ever, you know, now for some reason, all of a sudden hurricanes aren't just, you know, catastrophic hurricanes, but they birth like dozens and dozens of tornadoes in areas that do not get tornadoes, period. And then it's like spitting out like 27 tornadoes in like a couple hours. And, you know, these type of things are completely unexplainable. And then there is an absolutely known gag order on weather folks and people that track and do this stuff professionally that they're not allowed to talk about it. And I mean, how could you possibly even explain that they're not allowed to talk about this? There is a gag order. If there's nothing to talk about, why would there have to be a gag order?
And I want to clarify on the gag order. You're correct. The National Weather Service and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration have an illegal federal gag order on all agency operations. The gag order does not extend to the local network meteorologist, but those people, like so many in the ranks of the human race, will do or say whatever they're told, so long as it provides a paycheck and a pension. That's the simple fact of the matter. And as far as the quote forecasting goes, it's being passed down from the top, from Raytheon and Lockheed Martin, two private defense industry contractors that are highly involved in climate engineering everything. And they do all the weather modeling for the nation's weathermen. Why in the world would we need private defense contractors to do the modeling for our nation's weathermen? Unless they were intervening with the weather and they need the script to match. And that script goes all the way down to the local meteorologist who, in Northern California, as an example, we have the network meteorologist telling us 7 days in advance that a particular day will be mostly sunny or filtered sunshine. And the only thing in the sky in those days is what's being spewed out the back of geoengineering jet aircraft. No natural clouds whatsoever. How in the world would they know that that's going to occur 7 days in advance unless they're reading a script? If we look at Hurricane Harvey, I'm sure you remember that. I'm not sure if you're in Texas at that point, but we recorded the frequency transmissions that manipulated that storm. How did those quote forecasters, AKA script readers, know 7 days in advance that that storm would go where it went and sit there for days, dumping 50 inches of rain? Because they were reading a script, and we recorded the frequency transmissions that held that storm back from moving over land and breaking up. We recorded it. I hope your listeners will search geoengineeringwatch.org hurricanes and look at everything we've recorded, the interaction of the frequency transmissions with the storms, the transmission installations, and the frequency they project has a repelling effect on the air mass containing the storm. Milton, if you follow the track of Milton, TD, it spun up much faster than they expected. You remember that? It went to a Cat 5 almost immediately, and that caused it to drift southeast. It started to hang up a little bit on the Yucatan Peninsula. There's a massively powerful transmitter in the Yucatan, and governments are absolutely working together on these operations. It can't be otherwise. You can't just geoengineer over your own country without affecting the whole world. We have Senate documents to prove this cooperation. But the Cancun transmitter was ramped up to full strength, and it bumped that storm back off and on the basic trajectory that they had scheduled. In regard to the landfall of Helene and Milton, we can't find any surface stations that indicate anywhere near the strength that we were told those storms were. And I'm not saying they didn't do damage. Of course they did. But we can't find any wind speeds of 140 miles an hour for Helene or the Cat 3 wind speeds recorded for Milton. And yet the places that were completely annihilated, like North Carolina, we were given no advance warning of that, were we? And we recorded the steering of Helene and the projecting of the moisture over that region. That's on our homepage, steering Hurricane Helene. So we're encouraging people to understand these are patented processes. We can all speculate on the agendas and objectives being carried out. And there are many. It's not just this or that. Same with the state of the climate. It's not just this or that, because we've been too well trained to think you're either on the blue team or the red team. The world is much more complicated. And the climate and things that affect the climate is much more complicated as well. But again, the last remaining foundational factors in the planet's life support systems are being obliterated. Many factors are contributing. But when you have an intentional human activity, AKA weather warfare, that is the most destructive of all. If we don't stop this, and the elements are toxic, by the way, we're all breathing this stuff too. If we don't stop this war in an unimaginably limited time frame, all of us.
Yeah, and you know, there's a couple white papers that are available on your website and elsewhere. Weather as a force multiplier, and I think the other one is weather as a weapon. What's even more interesting when you talk about these weather projections and where they come from, it's exactly like the mainstream media when they have these talking points and you can hear 50 different news agencies and they parrot this exact same phrase verbatim. This is the way that this information has been disseminated. And you can't, when everybody quotes the exact same phrase from all parts of the country on these little small town, you know, news cycles, it's a clear demonstration that this information is clearly in bulk. It's propaganda and it's being dispersed exactly like these weather patterns and weather forecasts. And what's even more ironic is just maybe 2 hours ago, yeah, at 1:23, I got an email from the New York Times. And if you look at this article, which I don't have a subscription, so you can't view it, but America's vast population shift has exposed more people to the risk of natural disasters and dangerous heat. And if you look at their map, their map is correlated to where these radio frequency bands, like to me, when I look at these projections of this, you know, radio frequency radiation, it's a picture of this map that they have. It's incredibly ironic, but this is just more of that trickle out propaganda. And you're going to blame the weather and natural events on people moving from one zip code to another. Like, how do that, that can't make sense on any planet.
It can't. I mean, again, a simple migration of a population would not be a factor in this equation. I fully agree. The current paradigm is very destructive. And this is all we're trying to, again, to build the bridge. I think it would also be irrational. Just as you said, again, the migration of population of one place to another can't have anything really to do with anything. But the other forms that are of human activity evolve with the current paradigm do. And what we're trying to, again, build bridges with is to acknowledge we've been really bad stewards of the planet. There's no question about that. But climate engineering has so radically ramped up the destruction by disabling the planet's ability to respond to the damage done. And that's exactly what it's done. In the attempt to mask the, I think you alluded to this earlier, TD, but in the attempt to mask from population some of the damage done to the planet, much of it from these programs to begin with, they double down on these programs, inflicting even more damage. And that's the mentality of the military industrial complex, just like the pharmaceutical industry. How many commercials do we see? Take this for that symptom, and here's 20 other side effects, which are really actual effects, aren't they? And then you have to take a dozen more pharmaceuticals for those, and just one layer of insanity on top of another, on top of another. So again, what we're trying to drive home at geoengineeringwatch.org, we have so many causes and concerns that are valid in today's circus of insanity that we call military industrial society. But if we don't plug this hole in the bottom of the boat, we're done. And I don't mean centuries from now or decades from now. If we look at current statistics today, TD, the insect populations are down 80 to 90%, terrestrial and aquatic. If the insects can't make it, how long do we think we'll be here? Wildlife populations conservatively down 74 or 5% in the last 40 years alone, and crashing faster by the day. Plankton populations are crashing around the globe. Atlantic down 90% based on recent peer-reviewed study. We now know, we just got confirmation of what I've said at geoengineeringwatch.org for 15 years, that the forests' respiratory systems are shutting down. And this includes crops now too. It's a condition called VPD, vapor pressure deficit. They have so altered atmospheric chemistry. And part of that is, again, industrialized society as well. We've helped to alter that chemistry, but climate engineering even more so. And so now you have the respiratory ports from in trees and forests and crops. They're shutting down. They're not absorbing carbon. They're not feeding carbon from the atmosphere. They're not releasing oxygen. They're just dormant. And we're seeing crops collapse across the globe. You can't grow anything here in Northern California, TD. And that's why with Billy in Carolina, we're sending him some soil samples here, because we know that the soil microbiome is dead. It's dead. There's no decomposition on the forest floor, none. There's no forest smell because the trees aren't breathing. They're dying by the day. And why would we think otherwise when we have rain that's packed full of aluminum, toxic to all life, killing root systems? TD, do you have, you see trees tipping over? You certainly saw in the storms how many trees tip over now. It's like they all just fall over, right?
Huge, huge ancient oak trees. And we have large loblolly pine on our own property, and we're watching them die. And it's completely unexplainable, because here you have a completely undisturbed forest floor that hasn't been sprayed by big ag with glyphosate or anything. So if everything was working the way that it was designed, and as the forest floor decomposes and regenerates that soil, you know, there's no way to explain this, why these massive 100-year-old oak trees are getting blown over by the root ball. And then you look, even if you look at the root structure, I'm like, this root structure defies basic biology. You know, we were always taught, you know, and even in government school, you know, the tree canopy, the root ball is at least as large or maybe two times larger than the canopy. And you'll see these gigantic circumference oak trees with this broken superficial root ball. And you're like, this tree, there's no explanation for how this tree could have ever blown over. And I mean, we see this every single year with these straight line windstorms, and we have trees on our property that are, they still kind of look alive and they're leaning precariously. And there's like, this is such a massive tree. There is no explanation for why this tree wants to just fall over under its own accord, basically.
There's your explanation. Bioavailable aluminum, which is killing root systems, and they're dying back, just like the crowns of the trees are also dying back. Again, killing soil microbiome, aluminum toxic to all life forms. And we have peer-reviewed study in the root systems. The introduction of bioavailable aluminum, again, which is in our rain. We have yet to come up with a rain test that doesn't have this ubiquitous contamination now, thanks to climate engineering. When roots are exposed to this, they shut down nutrient uptake. They start to die a slow, protracted death. And so here in the northwest of the United States, we have a massive die-off of the Douglas fir tree. It's the predominant, all trees are dying, but the fir tree is especially rapidly. Recent peer-reviewed science study named the title Firmageddon. And I think that title expresses clearly how bad it is. And we have the so-called experts here blaming it all on the beetles. It's just the beetles. The beetles are a symptom of a sick, dead, dying tree. So again, yeah, we have the so-called experts in the Scientology you correctly mentioned earlier, or the scientism or whatever I should say, worshiping experts that say whatever they're told to say, whether they consciously believe it or not is another subject, but they are systematically ignoring the elephant in the sky. And I've had USDA soil scientists with me whom I know knew, I haven't communicated with them now for a while because of this rift, but measuring soil pH values, there's so much metal has fallen on us here in Northern California, our normally acidic soils. And I have the baselines. I have the historical baselines in my possession from the USDA from the 40s, the actual copies. And our soil pH value has gone from in the 5.4 range to 6.5, 6.6. That's 10 to 12 times toward alkaline from the contamination in the rain. That's an incredible amount of metal saturating into our soils. And the soil decomposition isn't occurring. The forest floor duff is not decomposing. And then they cut off our precipitation on top of that. We've been 6 months here in Northern California with no rain. 6 months. And temperatures that in a formerly lush forest, we've had temperatures at 3 a.m. here of 95 degrees with 15% humidity. That's something you might expect in Death Valley. So people have no idea how drastically damaged the planet is at this point, and climate engineering making it worse by the day. And I would argue if we can expose and stop this TD, then we can argue about the other sources of damage. We can assess where the climate's really at, but we have to start with this. This is the biggest hole in the bottom of the boat, and we do not have much time. I want to make that perfectly clear. And the biggest variable, I'll leave it with this, once the power structure realizes the population is waking up to what's been done to them without their knowledge or consent, and this, of course, includes the recent medical treatments, all of this is intertwined because they're trying to thin the herds. They know they can't maintain this paradigm very long, so they're trying to thin the herd. That should be abundantly clear at this point. But at this point, at the moment we're at now, there are so many factors so far past the breaking point that on any given day, those in power has to become unimaginably desperate, could play very big cards. We know in the rain, we have aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, polymer fibers, surfactants. If you've seen foaming rain, ever seen foaming rain, TD, where down a drainage, there's a lot of foam?
Yep.
That's surfactants. That's what they use to keep the particles from coagulating together when they're dispersed. So, I mean, the synergistic toxicity of all this is incalculable, but we have graphene in the rain as well. So the point I was going to make that once the power structure knows they're losing control, we know polymer fibers and graphene are used as biological carrier platforms to carry a pathogen from the clouds to the ground. We know there's 400 biolabs around the world, level four labs. They're doing something. These pathogens aren't coming from nowhere. So if they have the platform already established, what's to stop them from adding something much more lethal to this spray dispersion mix and putting us all on the ground overnight?
And the what is so unifying about this topic, you know, we have several people in the regenerative ag space like Joel Salatin, who was just on, where he calls himself an environmentalist because, you know, we do realize that we are monkeying with our foods, with every life cycle and every life system, whether it's genetically, whether it's in agriculture with the soil life biome and the use of chemicals and just the rampant use of chemicals. And it's exactly like, I think when you confronted David Keith about the use of aluminum and how it will destroy the soil biome. Oh, well, we didn't do any tests on that. I mean, I can only speak to like how it's great when you aerosolize it and you breathe it in and, you know, a couple people will die, but for the greater good, you know, we'll drop the temperature. But, you know, they willingly ignore the lethality of it, of once it gets like it magically disappears, like it's pixie dust or something, and they're dumping it onto the earth and not expecting cataclysmic. And I mean, these are highly educated people that teach other people, and to act so ignorant, like, oh yeah, we just never really thought about that. Or we purposely didn't test it, so that way we could have plausible deniability and just say, oh yeah, look at that. Who would have thought that dumping megatons of aluminum into the soil would impact our food system?
Exactly. Very well stated. And yeah, if we could rephrase that, highly educated or highly indoctrinated. I would argue these power structure institution individuals have their certificate of indoctrination, and that's what they operate from. So yeah, think of the criminality of David Keith as I confronted him at that International Geoengineering Conference. This is all in the dimming for your listeners that want to see that confrontation. But for him, from my initial question of you're proposing dumping tens of millions of tons of aluminum in the atmosphere, have you done toxicological studies? And his first response is, I'm paraphrasing, well, we've studied atmospheric particulate loading. Basically, there's a lot of material in the sky already. A little more won't hurt. Wait a minute. That material is not aluminum. Have you studied aluminum? What did he say? No, we haven't, as you stated. Could terrible things happen tomorrow? We don't know, quote unquote. What kind of statement is that from the world's most recognized climate engineer? And if we go back to the CV19 scenario and the 85 countries infected in 3 days, that's indicative of an airborne dispersion. And when we have these elements in the precipitation, why would we not suspect that? We have the world's second most recognized climate engineer, Dr. Ken Caldera, former Department of Defense scientist. We own the audio at geoengineeringwatch.org of him stating in his own words what he did for the DOD, design ways of spraying pathogens into clouds to infect the populations below. He works for Bill Gates now, at least in some capacity. That's on the record on Bill Gates' website.
So, you know, our family in our discussions, you know, we was throwing that out there, like just from normal observation of getting up and going to town and going to work. And you're like, and you're getting reports from friends and you're like, how can everyone be getting this respiratory illness like all across the country, all at the exact same time? Like it doesn't make any sense, you know. And now just this week, they're rolling back out these mask mandates because we obviously have learned from the scientism that these paper masks that do all this damage to us somehow stop these microscopic particulates. And it, you know, they keep recycling these this propaganda and these talking points, and they're going to roll it all out again. And as Billy calls us, the United States of Amnesia, you know, because of the news cycle and the propaganda, the majority of the population has no type of long-term or short-term memory to say, hey, remember when they said it was one mask and then it was two masks and then it was three masks and then it was like, well, actually, no, masks don't do anything, but we just wanted to program people. And now they're going to do it again. And, you know, when is the population going to push back and say, no, we know that this doesn't work. This doesn't do anything. This is just a means of mind control and programming and indoctrination. And, you know, they're rolling out the masks again. So I would say that that is an indication that they're getting ready to spray something else on us.
I would agree. And I feel exactly the same as you, 2D, and it's mind-numbing. The behavior of the majority population is truly mind-numbing. It defies any rational understanding. We're currently, those that are awake and aware and seeing the horizon through a clear lens, I would argue, are caught between the hammer and the anvil, between a clinically insane power structure at the wheel and a hopelessly asleep population at the wheel. And this can only end poorly if we continue in the current trajectory, because we have right now, I want to speak in right now figures today, while people are being entertained with scripted election theater, and that's exactly what it is. We have, again, plankton populations crashing, no plankton, no people. That's the basis of life on Earth. Plankton supplies the largest oxygen producer on the planet, not happening anymore. Let's connect climate engineering to that, because yes, there's lots of sources of damage to the plankton. We're trashing the oceans. We just found out recently, you talked about the chemicals and you're trying to stay away from those. I don't blame you. I used to spearfish at the Channel Islands for my sustenance in my youth when I was diving for many years around the world. And then we find out that the government looked the other way while they dumped 500,000, no less than 500,000 barrels of DDT in the Catalina Channel. 500,000 barrels, and that's only one of 18 dump sites. What else don't we know about? So again, back to what's occurring right now, death of the oceans, global pelagic fish populations, the food fish completely collapsing, down 90% now. Plankton, at least in the Atlantic, based on peer-reviewed study of 500 locations, down 90% now. Global terrestrial insect populations and aquatic, both 80 to 90% decline now. I mentioned the wildlife population, 70 to 74% conservatively in the last 40 years alone. Ozone layer. If you're growing your own food, you know that excessive UV radiation will put an end to that. And we're getting UVC on the surface right now. Climate engineering is the single greatest ozone destroying human activity of all, by far, period. Logic should kick in here. Should we be most worried about the damage that the aerosols in a hairspray can do? Or the CFCs and coolant? Or fleets of KC-135s and other tankers dumping 100-ton payloads of ozone-destroying, oxidizing nanoparticles in the atmosphere that are then microwaved, which further destroys the ozone layer. And for those that don't know, the ozone layer is unimaginably thin. If you compress it to a single molecular layer, it's about, I think, 6 millimeters thick, something like that, the size of a few coins stacked together. That's what allows us to live on this planet. You destroy that, we're done. Every rocket launch causes destruction. Every nuclear bomb detonation caused mass destruction, but the power structure did it anyway. Because we hear people say, and I'm sure you hear this, TD, well, they wouldn't do this to themselves. Yes, they would. They already have. We're not dealing with sanity. We're dealing with power addicts, and an addict doesn't consider the next fix will kill them. So all these life support systems are imploding. TD, do you know how bad the situation in the Amazon forest is? Have you heard anything about that recently?
Yeah. It's just evaporating.
Yeah. I lost your audio, I think, but 70,000 fires this year alone, 70,000+ fires this year. It's burning to the ground. The rivers are dry. Great Barrier Reef is basically dead. UV is a major factor there that's not being disclosed. I've been on two Great Barrier Reef expeditions in the past. Done. One of the seven wonders of the world, done. Kelp forests all over the world, which is a bigger ecosystem than the reefs, done. 95% decline. Americans are going about their lives right now as if they're going to continue as they are, football games and pizza and election theater, good luck. That's not going to happen. The paradigm is about to totally collapse. If we want to make a difference, we have to do it now.
Yeah, I can't say how much I appreciate your work, the way that you fastidiously document everything. You provide the receipts to just completely eradicate this normalcy bias notion. Anecdotally, you know, my boys, the grandparents were down visiting, you know, and this was probably a couple years ago, and they were like, wow, they're spraying us again today. And their grandfather, he like started to glitch and twitch, and he's just like, what are you talking about? You know, they can't do that. Who's paying for it? And all these, you know, all these tropes and whatnot. And, you know, just, it just speaks to the way, especially the older demographic, you know, they were much more mainstream, and they got all of their news from television. And what is quintessential, this is the Fearless Podcast. And especially as Americans with a vestige of free speech, like if you have the freedom to speak, right, and you don't speak the truth in fear of hurting somebody's normalcy bias or hurting their feelings or whatever. I mean, what is the point of having any type of freedom of speech if you're not going to say the most important things and recognize what's going on and provide the information? I mean, education is the key. Once you see what is going on and you see the proof and the data behind it, that's the only way to make any kind of substantive change that's going to affect anything. Because as long as people are willingly and willfully ignorant, they're just going to, you know, turn on the football game or wait for the election results and do all these different things. And it's part of that propaganda control system to keep everyone, you know, the bread and circuses while Rome burns to the ground, you know, while they have bread in their stomach and they have the entertainment and, you know, and meanwhile, everything burns down around us.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And that firewall of self-psychological defense mechanism, very primal mechanism, is very powerful. And I had a former double PhD clinical psychologist friend of many years who knew that there was damage done to the climate. He recognized that, but he could not bring himself to face this issue, no matter how. In fact, in the video of me confronting Dr. David Keith, this psychologist is sitting right next to me in that conference. And in spite of all he knew, he could not bring himself to face this issue. One of the last statements he made to me, he's dead right now, by the way, because he received the recent medical treatment pushed by the medical industry, and now he's dead. But he stated to me that this can't be happening, referring to climate engineering, unless or until there's a peer-reviewed science study that says it's happening. So are we to believe that until the criminal admits to the crime, there was no crime? And this is from a clinical psychologist. So imagine for people, this is like telling them your particular spiritual belief is not right, or your God is not your God. I mean, when their God is the government, that's who's going to take care of them. They just can't fathom this. They can't fit it into their reality. And that's a tough nut to crack. So I would suggest for people that what we do at geoengineeringwatch.org, we supply printed materials. They're available on our homepage on the left column. They're very high quality, non-political. We don't advertise or sell anything on the site or anywhere else. And that's a great key to the door. Picture's worth a thousand words, as the proverb goes. And we pass these materials on for less than our cost of producing and shipping. We have only one mission. I have only one mission. One mission. I live for the day when this atrocity in our skies is exposed and halted, and the planet is allowed to respond on its own to the damage done before everything is dead. I revere trees. My father was an arborist. In kindergarten, they had to drag me out of the trees at the end of recess because I felt so at home in the branches of these silent, sentient beings. And to see them die is so painful for me that I will rage on in this fight until my final breath. No trees, no people. Period. And again, we better start behaving like we're fighting for our lives, because I assure you, we are.
Yeah. And, you know, we have about 400 fruit trees planted here on the property. And what's very interesting in the regenerative agriculture space is that these trees will do very, have been designed and created very well to flourish and to recycle the air to give us air to breathe. And then if we interact with them in a holistic regenerative way, they can even produce more abundance, you know? And meanwhile, all of these systems are being attacked. And, you know, I had never grown anything in my entire life until about 8 years ago. And I just really became infatuated with trees and fruit trees and propagation and grafting and all these different neat artisan skill sets that are being lost. And then it was just so fascinating to me how we could interact with these trees and just do miraculous things and create abundance. And it's so powerful, and it's so important, because our society as a whole is very synthetic, you know, very concrete jungle, stack them, pack them, track them, and all this stuff. And if we slow down and observe nature around us and then participate in that, you know, we can create abundance. And, you know, once again, it's why this message is so important. It's why the data is important. It's why I wanted to direct y'all to geoengineeringwatch.org. If you want updates from Dane, you can get the information here. Dane, I greatly appreciate the time that you've invested with us today. I want to thank you so much. And this is a value for value proposition, y'all. If you appreciate our information, please go on over to thetexasboys.com. We'd love and appreciate all of our supporters and those that share and like the Fearless podcast. And now, more than ever, remember, stay fearless, my friends.